Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. We're going to look at Nicodemus this morning. And I'd like to read 19 verses, but I'm not going to do that for the sake of time. But keep your Bible open. I will refer to several of the verses in this chapter as the message develops. All right, John chapter 3. You know, the good news is today's February the 1st. All right, so January's behind us. Yay. Yay, and again I say yay. All right. Chapter 3. And we have an early Easter this year, right? Pastor Brian? Huh? April 7th? April 4th? That's still early, isn't it? Isn't that early? What'd you say? Yes. Yes, there's always a method to my madness here. Yeah, that's why I asked. Earlier next year. Oh, my. All right, so that makes it difficult for Living Crosses. What I'm saying, but early Easter means hopefully the weather, spring gets here sooner. All right. You know, you can't play golf in the snow, you know, you just can't. Unless you have those orange golf balls, and then it's still a little bit of a struggle. All right, verse 1, please. John 3. All right, that's all the laughing you're going to do right there. That's it. All right, John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So there's your Bible's built-in dictionary. All right, you see the word rabbi? You say, well, what in the world's a rabbi? A teacher. All right? A teacher. There's your Bible's built-in dictionary right there. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man. Now, this is Nicodemus's observation now. See how much insight this fellow has. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's good insight right there. All right? Let's pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning on the man who came to Jesus by night. The man who came to Jesus by night. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Bible, and thank you for this wonderful third chapter of John that tells us the story of Nicodemus. And Father, I pray that you will bless today as we look at his life in the Gospel of John. And Father, I just ask you to speak to our hearts. If there is even one person in this room today who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today will be the day they realize that they need you as their personal Savior. So, Father, bless the message, touch our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to look at a man that is probably familiar to everybody in this room and those that are listening online today, a man named Nicodemus. His story is told to us only in the Gospel of John. There are four Gospels, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptics, and synoptic means similar, and they are similar to each other, and none of the three synoptics deal with Nicodemus at all, but the Gospel of John does. And I want us to look at what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, tells us about this man, Nicodemus. He is mentioned three times in the Gospel of John. And each time he is mentioned, it fills in just another little blank about his life. And three times, and every time it's mentioned, he ends up revealing, the Spirit of God ends up revealing something more about Nicodemus. Now, these three times, all three of them are all followed. His name is mentioned, and then it is followed in parentheses, and it will say, and I'll show you that in just a moment, but it will say, the same came to Jesus by night. So all three times that Nicodemus is mentioned in the Gospel of John, we are told that he came to Jesus by night. So what do we know about Nicodemus? Well, we really don't know a whole lot. There's not much that is revealed here. We do know, however, that he was a Pharisee. You say, all right, well, what's the significance of that? Well, the Pharisees were a religious sect of Judaism. It was a part of Judaism. And through the centuries, Pharisees have been known or been identified with the Hasidic branch of Judaism. Now, the Hasidim is what they call themselves, and they are the Orthodox Jews. Now, this group came into existence. They self-organized about 500 years before the Lord Jesus came along. They were under the authority of the Roman government. Israel had been conquered by Rome, and so they were the ones that took the religious reins of Israel and tried to hold their religion together. The only thing was, they took it to extremes. And they're the ones that came up with all of these rules and regulations and all this stuff that actually was detrimental to anybody finding a relationship with God. It was just ridiculous, some of the things that they did. Now, you might remember that these Jews, these Hasidic Jews, the Pharisees, had another branch, and they were called the Sadducees, and they were the religious liberals of the day. Jesus always referred to the Pharisees as being the hypocrites of the day. They were the ones that Jesus accused of straining a gnat out of a glass of water, and then as they went to drink it down, a big camel jumped in the glass, and they drank the camel down. All right, that's these people were hypocrites. Jesus said, "You guys are ridiculous with all the things that you're trusting to get you right with God." All right, so the Pharisees were the religious sect of the day. Now, today, the Hasidic Jews are the ones, for example, that you will see down in Pikesville, wearing the black and white shirts and the black coats and the black hats and all that. They don't wear a necktie. They don't wear a tie. They're not going to wear a tie until the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom. And then it's just all this stuff that they go through. But anyway, something else we know about Nicodemus. Look at your Bible. He was a ruler of the Jews. All right, now what does that mean? Well, that simply means that he was a chosen, elected member of the Sanhedrin. All right, the Sanhedrin was the ruling body. It was made up of all these different sects, S-E-C-T-S, sect. Hillbillies have a hard time saying that word, all right? But S-E-C-T-S, sects of Judaism. And they were the ruling body. They were the ones who met and accused the Lord Jesus and sent him to Pilate demanding that he be put to death. So the Sanhedrin was the religious ruling body of the Jews. And Nicodemus was a member of that Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was made up of men from all these various groups, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Essenes, the Zealots, all these different groups. You know, today in their parliament over in Israel, they have several different parties, and they make up the what's called the Knesset, all right, their parliamentary body. And all of these religious sects are included in their parliament today. All right, so that's still a lot of that has filtered over into Israel's government even today. So point is, Nicodemus was a powerful man. All right, he was educated to the hilt. No doubt, very educated, and also no doubt, very wealthy. Very wealthy, very influential. But also, from what I expressed to you in verse 2, Nicodemus was also a very observant individual. Now, there are three times in the Gospel of John where Nicodemus is mentioned. And the first time is right here in the third chapter. And so I want you to look at this for just a moment. And I'm going to name the first time he's mentioned in chapter 3, Nicodemus coming to Christ. In this chapter, we see Nicodemus coming to Christ. Now, folks, you need to stop and think for just a moment how big of a pride issue this would have been for Nicodemus to come to the conclusion that he wanted to sit down and talk with a man from Galilee. You see, he's been watching him. He's been listening to him. And Nicodemus, unlike the others who were rejecting him, and by the way, I said a moment ago, the Sadducees were the liberals of their day. They were liberals because of certain things that they just absolutely rejected, like the resurrection. The Bible is very clear, Old Testament and New Testament, that there is a resurrection from the dead. But Sadducees rejected that. They just defiantly refused to believe in the resurrection. Now, do you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe that God, are you listening, hath raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection. All right, so if you deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no way that you can be saved from your sin. The resurrection is a fundamental. You can't take it or leave it. It is fundamental to making the Bible work. All right, and so here's the thing. There is not one record anywhere in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, in the book of Acts, in any of the epistles, there is not one example where a Sadducee came to Christ. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? All right? You just think about that. You just think about that. That's telling. All right? So, but notice here in chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Christ. You know, we get a good feel for why Nicodemus came to the Lord just from what he says here in verse 2. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man could do the miracles that you do except God be with him." Now, folks, I'm telling you, that was a major leap for a Pharisee. That was a major humbling of himself to admit that the things that the Lord Jesus was able to do had to have been from God. And so here is what he said. Now look carefully at verse 2. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him." Now question, is there a question in that statement? Huh? Look at it. Do you see a question mark at the end of verse 2? No, there's not. He's not asking a question. He's making a statement. All right? So he has watched and he has observed, and it has hit him. It has enlightened him to realize that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is more than just a man. He has to be from God. He has to be. No man could do the things that he did. And then notice that John tells us the same came to Jesus by night. In all three times John mentions Nicodemus, he calls out his name and then repeats this same statement. The same came to Jesus by night. So why do you think that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? Well, could it have been because he did not want anyone to see him? That's possible, isn't it? He would have been a little bit nervous about one of his buddies spotting him going to see Jesus. And, you know, since he was this big-time, hot-shot, spiritual giant, you know, a Sanhedrin member, he surely did not want to be seen with a peasant, with a little nobody from Galilee. I mean, you remember what they said about folks from Galilee. They asked the question, can anything good come out of Galilee? And that's what they thought about the city of Nazareth, which was in Galilee. Well, maybe the nighttime, he thought, would have been better to be alone so that he could question the Lord Jesus and get answers that would come right straight from the source of God in the flesh. Well, I really don't know the answer. The Bible does not tell us what, but you can kind of speculate, can't you? And I personally, though, think that the reason that all three times John adds the same came to Jesus by night, I think that the Holy Spirit is trying to show us a spiritual reason. The man was lost. He was in the darkness of sin. He was looking for the truth. He was looking for the light. And so he comes to the one who is the light of the world and asks and sits for a conversation. Now, since it is mentioned all three times that Nicodemus came to Christ by night, I think the Holy Spirit of God is making a spiritual point. You see, this is God's way of showing us that Nicodemus was in spiritual darkness. Folks, this is not in the Bible just for filler material. All right? This is here to show us a man in his natural course of life coming to the realization that there is more to life than just education. There's more to life than just money. There's more to life than just prestige. There's more to life than just having a nice, comfortable home to live in or a nice car to drive. There's more to life than things. And that is spiritual matters. Those are more important. You see, folks, Jesus asked a question one day, what if you gained the whole world and then lost your own soul? Think about that. What if you had it all? You say, man, I don't lack for a thing. I have everything I want. If I want to know something, I just go get it. I don't even go get it. I just call people and tell them to get it and bring it to me. Hey. But what is all that? If you live 100 years and never have a need or a want, but you die and end up in hell. My. So old Nicodemus is realizing, whew, man, there's something more than just this religious stuff. There's something more than just going through all these motions. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, you know? And so he came to see Jesus. He had a spiritual need. And I think that the Holy Spirit goes to great lengths to emphasize this matter of spiritual darkness with each mention of his name. Oh, he had the position, and he had the power, and he had the education, and he had the approval of men, and he had a head full of knowledge of God, but he was spiritually lost in the darkness of sin. He had no heart knowledge of the Lord. Look at verse 18 in this chapter for just a moment. Verse 18, and look at what it says. Jesus is speaking still to Nicodemus, and Jesus says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. The him is Christ, all right? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Well, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So look carefully at that 18th verse. Who is saved? Who is born again? Who is on their way to heaven? Well, according to Jesus, he that believeth. He that believeth. Who is lost? Well, according to Jesus, he that believeth not. And why is that lost person lost? And the answer is, verse 18, because he won't believe in Christ. If you look at verse 19 through verse 21, you will see that the Lord goes on to tell us that a person who does not have Christ in their heart is in darkness. Look at your Bible. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Folks, that's what Nicodemus is looking for. That's what I was looking for when I got saved. I was sick of the darkness. I was sick of the sin and the guilt and all the things that go with it. I was sick and tired of seeing my life going in the same downhill direction that I watched most of my relatives go down. Alcoholism. And I stood there and watched it and said, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to throw my life down a rat hole. And I was looking for the light. Didn't know it at the time, but that's what I was looking for. And by the way, so were you when you came to Christ. The Lord goes on and tells us that if you don't have the Lord, your heart is in darkness. Folks, have you ever noticed these hell holes? You know, bars, nightclubs, you know, all these places and their ilk are always places of darkness. Always places of darkness. And multitudes of people have a fear of the dark. Multitudes of people. But yet, they're comfortable in the darkness of sin. Man, oh man. I'm telling you, folks, you don't want to live in the darkness of sin. When I was a kid, we had this we called it a beer joint. We had this beer joint about 3 miles from our house, and it was called the Wagon Wheel. And they had the best hot dogs in the world, bar none. And my dad, of course, was not saved at the time, and so my dad would say, "Let's get some hot dogs from the Wagon Wheel." And so he would call up and order the hot dogs. He'd call them on the phone and order hot dogs, and then he'd say, "Let's go pick them up." So we would go up, and he would say, "Come on, boys, you get out of your mother's hair for a little while." And he would put us in the car and take us up to the Wagon Wheel. And then he would park the car, and he'd pull the keys out, and he'd say, "All right, boys, come with me." And, "Dad, we don't want to go in there." "Oh, come on, go in here with me, go in." And you know, he said, I'm going to take the keys. If I left the keys here, y'all would have the car out running all over the community. And I'm not going to lock you in the car, so get out and come in with me." Well, we didn't want to go. I'm, you know, six, seven years old. Had no desire to go in there. We had to go down there several times and pull my dad's brother out of that place, and I just didn't want to go in there. And so we walked in, and it's the middle of the day, all right? It's the middle of the day. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And my dad walks over and says, "I called in an order of hot dogs." The guy said, "Oh, yeah, they're right here." And he puts them down. Dad pays for them, and he turns, and he goes, "Come on, boys." And so we walked out. Well, we got out in the car, and my little brother said, "Dad, why is it so dark in there?" And my dad, not saved. My dad looks at both of us and says, "Hell is dark." I never forgot that. Hell is dark. And that's exactly what Jesus said about it. It is a place of outer darkness. I've heard for years, if I'm going to hell, at least all my buddies will be there. You're not going to see your buddies in hell. Y'all not going to go to hell and have a party. What is wrong with you? No, it's not party time. It's judgment time. Darkness. You know, a lot of people have a fear of the dark. A fear of the dark is one of the most common phobias there is. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but if you have a cold or a sinus infection or a lung problem or some kind of an illness, it always gets worse at night. Doesn't it? Sure it does. It always gets worse at night, always. Without fail. I've had many a folk through the year tell me they hated to see the darkness come. Oh yeah, why? Well, because of what it brings to my suffering body. And that's so true, isn't it? But I can tell you that if I would be scared to death, to be honest with you. I'd be scared out of my wits to think that I was living my life in total spiritual darkness. I would be scared witless. I cannot imagine living with the fear that I might wake up from the darkness of night and then find myself in the darkness of an eternal hell. I can't fathom that. You see, a head knowledge is not going to work. So, do you know God? Sure, I know who God is. No, didn't ask you if you know who God is. Do you know God? We have a head knowledge of God, but do we have a heart knowledge of God? You see, Billy Sunday said most folks are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches, the difference from your head to your heart. And that's so true, isn't it? So what's the answer? Well, look at your Bible. Look at verse 3. Here's the answer. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the answer. You got to be born again. What's the answer, Pastor? Look at verse 5. I say unto thee, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, water, you got to get baptized? No, the water, the word of God. What's the answer, Pastor? Look at verse 7. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You say, well, Pastor, why do I have to be born again? Because you must. There's no other way. If I could tell you, hey, folks, all you got to do is walk down this aisle and let someone take a little slip of paper, you fill it out and join the fellowship of the church, the open door, and you can go to heaven. Well, wouldn't that be easy? There's no heart involved with that, is there? Huh? There's no decision made there. Oh, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow the Lord. But you must be born again. What's the answer, Pastor? Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Believe in the Lord. What's the answer, Pastor? Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whew. That's the answer right there. And thank the Lord Nicodemus came to Christ. Second thing, go over to chapter 7. You need to turn quickly here. I am running out of time. Always running out of time. That's the story of my life, running out of time. Chapter 7, verse 40. Watch this now. Many of the people, therefore, said, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. This is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. All right? This is the Christ. Now read on. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? So there it is again. All right. Can anything good come out of Galilee? So there was a what? The next verse, verse 45. There was a what? Or verse 43, I'm sorry. A division, just like there is today. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, that means arrested him. They would have seized him, but no man laid hands on him. You say, wonder why. It was not yet time. God wouldn't let him. And so watch what happened. Verse 45, then came the officers who had been hired to arrest the Lord Jesus by the chief priests and the Pharisees. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees who hired them, And they said unto them, why have you not brought him? Now watch. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Wow. Why didn't you arrest him? You ever hear him speak? You see, they went to arrest him, and he arrested them with the words that he spoke. But this people, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Verse 47, and then answered them, the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Man, that sounds like an argument right on the floor of Congress, doesn't it? Huh? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? And that's when Nicodemus comes on the picture. Are you watching? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. So they're looking down their noses at the people, these religious Bible thumpers, you know, cling to their guns and their God and their Bibles. And so, verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, parentheses, he that came, you know, Nicodemus, he, you know, the guy that came to Jesus by night, you know, that's what John's saying, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? All right. Why are you being sympathetic to this man? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went to his own house. But would they have gone to their own house had Nicodemus not spoken up? So, number one, he spoke for Christ, or he came to Christ. Then number two, he spoke for Christ. He spoke up. Man, I mean, I'm sure that got some folks looking at him. They were looking sideways at him. Jesus got the Pharisees all shook up with the things that he said. And so never man spake like this man. Look back at chapter 7 for just a moment. Look a little bit earlier in the chapter. Look at verse 15. It says, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? In other words, they're not saying that Jesus was ignorant. They're saying Jesus did not go to our universities. All right? He did not go to our schools. So how could he know anything? How could he know this stuff? Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Isn't that hilarious? How could you know anything? You didn't go to our schools. I mean, how is it that, where'd you go to school? Well, I didn't. I'm from heaven. I know all. Oh, where'd you learn your alphabet? Are you kidding? I am the alphabet. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What are you talking about? Not only that, he's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's all the other letters in between. You see, he said, I am. I am. And then he took letters and he said, I am truth. I am. And then he took letters and he said, light. What do you need him to be today? Whatever it is, take the letters of the alphabet. You need comfort? I am comfort. What do you need him to be? He'll be it. He has all the solutions and all the answers. And then lastly, I'm not done by any means there, but I got to move on. Lastly, look at chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, verse 38, we see that he honored Christ. Look at verse 38. It says, and after this, after the crucifixion, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now watch. And there came also, who? There he is. Oh, by the way, don't forget, you know, he's the one that came to Jesus at night. See, don't forget that. All right. Then came Nicodemus and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. You know what that represents? A ton of money. That cost a pretty penny. But you know, being a Pharisee, you know, being a politician, money was no object. Did you see Bernie Sanders' face when Trump's somebody, one of his guys, asked Bernie how he got so rich? Bit, 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 bit. We're not here to discuss that. Why not? Oh, he wasn't going to let him off. How'd you get so rich? Well, how'd any of them get so rich? He honored Christ. He brought money. But he brought it to give. Myrrh and aloes. To put on his body for burial. He honored the Lord. You don't see anybody else out there with aloes and myrrh, do you? Nah. You know, the disciples couldn't afford it. There's no way the disciples could afford that. And they all fled anyway, except for John. So John's standing there, and he watches as Nicodemus comes and all of his servants, and they're carrying all this aloe and myrrh. He honored Christ. Now, folks, think about this. Think about this. Nicodemus put off full surrender to the Lord until a tragedy occurred. Do you hear me? He put off full surrender to Christ until a tragedy occurred. I could stand here and tell you 11th hour stories for hours. In almost 50 years of ministry, I got a bunch of them. Don't wait till the 11th hour. Don't wait till the last minute. You may not get a last minute. You're not guaranteed one. Finally, Nicodemus stepped up and said, I'm on the Lord's side. What happened to him? I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what happened to him. But I know that all three times he's mentioned here, He came to Jesus at night. Thank the Lord, he stepped out of the darkness into the light. How about you? You ready to step into the light by trusting the Savior? I hope today would be your day. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, please. No one looking around. Let me ask a couple of personal questions. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. And I want you to be honest with yourself and with me and with God. How many of you will say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I know I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ as your Savior? Say, "Preacher, I know. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I know that I'm going to heaven." Amen. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, that looked like most everybody. You may put your hands down. Thank you. That looked like most everyone, but I could have missed someone. So let me ask this question. Is there anybody here would say, "Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. I don't want to go to hell. I know that for a fact. I want to go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. So, preacher, would you pray for me? I need the Lord." Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it for just a moment? And let me pray and ask God to help you. Anybody like that? Just hold your hand up where I can see it, and I will pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Anybody like that? All right, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches our hearts and instructs us in the truth. And Father, I pray that your word will not return void this morning. I pray that you will speak to hearts and draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship with you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.